This week on RSBNB Update, we return to with a look at all the necromancy quests. From short tutorials to quests that fit right into RuneScape, we detail what necromancy quests do right, why they fit into the game, and what it all means for the future of questing. This is RSBNB Update, episode 952, recorded Thursday, September 14th, 2023, A Pocket of Erebus. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This is going to be known as the Palate Cleanser episode going forward, isn't it, Tannis?
Yep. You know, sometimes you just need a little drink of wine, right? And, but no, wait. That's nothing close. Chocolate. Chocolate between your wine, right? Today's the chocolate.
That's right. And, of course, what we're referring to is we're going over Necromancy's quests from my vacation and then into Hero Pass right after that. We didn't have much time to continue our Necromancy coverage, so that begins again this week with the focus on quests. And to help us do that, Zerdones from Clan Quest is here. Welcome.
Hey there. Glad to be here.
And also Avernick, who you heard on back when we were doing our Dead and Buried quest overview. And of course, you might know him in the RuneScape community from completing a number of the archaeology mysteries world first, and of course, his suggestion to get the Ark into the game. Welcome, Avernick.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we figured, you know, it's quest week, necromancy quest week, and these quests have like 95 necromancy requirements. So I was going through through this list of people, and it's like, okay, that one doesn't have it. That one doesn't have it. Avernick has it all the way down to the list, and then Zerdones. So, oh, it's just going to be Avernick and Zerdones. We can run with that.
So, I'm glad to know you picked me out of a lot of options.
Yeah, you were at the first of at the head of the list, actually, with your name being A. I started off with that, so.
Perfect.
So.
That's okay. I won't take that personal.
Yeah, Zerdones was at the very end of that list in terms of the people, but nonetheless, the Quest Week Palate Cleanser is here, and I've been looking forward to go over these, so. Of course, as we get going with that, a reminder, you can find full show notes for this episode at update.show, and you can also join our community Discord at rsbnb.com/discord, and the French chat is at BitSpites. And I do have to give a big, big thank you to our experienced here Patreon members, for whom without Update would not be possible. And this week, that's Andrew C., Drama Free, Jason S., Jesse W., Keski, Maniac, Ricky A., Rippeth, Seth W., and the Naked Captain. Big, huge thank you to them. And we'll, of course, be talking more about what Patreon is in just a little bit later on in the episode. But nonetheless, we're going to throw ourselves in to some necromancy quests here. And the way this is going to work, we're just going to, in effect, do a run-through of these. And there's a question I want everybody to keep in mind as we move through this, listeners and of course, the hosts already know this, but we're going to be looking at these quests and saying, you know, did these quests hit the mark? Were they the appropriate size? And, you know, would we like to see more quests in that same vein? And I guess with that, we start with the necromancy tutorial. And we ran through a bit of this in terms of the onboarding it provided on launch week. But in general, looking back at this now in terms of what we know about necromancy and where things have landed, how do we feel that they did with this in terms of onboarding and tying it in and kicking off the story?
Well, it has a good hook. I'll give it that.
Okay.
Like, you start off with the player character being killed by a floating sword. It certainly drives interest.
Yeah, and, you know, for the longest time, we were kind of moving away from introducing skills and tying them to quests, right? Because they uncoupled Druidic Ritual, Wolf Whistle, and I think there was another skill launch one that they uncoupled from that at the start. But now here we are again with Necromancy leaning fully into that.
But it's also kind of a strange mixture of quest, tutorial aspects that you would associate with a mini quest.
You said the word.
To me, it has the signatures of when Mod Warden had said he wanted, you know, to incorporate lore into everything. Like every yeah. piece of content needed to be rooted in some way. I get that feel from this, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. You weren't here for launch week. How did it go over for you?
I thought that the first quest definitely had a great presentation. I think the animated was a welcome surprise. But also this one, yeah, it is first and foremost tutorial. So like with summoning an herbler in the past when they had quests, those were not really teaching you how to do the skills at all. So yeah. It didn't really ever as the game went forward, those skills meant other things. It didn't matter as much. This was like, this is how rituals of combat work. So like, I feel like it makes more sense that this is a requirement, I guess, to do the skill, because it matters more mechanically.
Yeah, and the thing that stood out with these to me from the beginning is that they learned from the fort, because you remember when we first got the first batch of buildings for the fort, right? There were quests, in air quotes, to teach you about the fort, right? But they didn't give quest points, they didn't give treasure hunter keys, they didn't give rewards. Mm-hmm. They just gave a screen that said, hey, you completed this quest, but there was nothing for it. Community said, hey, you're using quest presentation for these, give us quest point.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
Yeah.
And they gave us quest point.
Yeah.
So that was that, and I think the tune was set for that. And the other thing I want to talk about with this, in terms of, you know, laying out the story, the sword, the next apprentice, so on and so forth, we get to the question of, you know, how is this going to be different than any kind of past necromancy, and how is this going to be different than necromancy that we know? And the underpinnings of this entire skill, of course, is the idea of consensual necromancy, which, of course, was a show title in the past.
Yeah, I like that they get this.
It's so RuneScape-y. Like,
it is.
I don't know if anything else, like, if any other game produces it. Like, it's so freaking RuneScape.
So, yeah. Something that I was reflecting on when I was playing the quest is there's an observation about old-school RuneScape quests. There's a criticism that gets brought up that the player character is often characterized as kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Like I think Priest in Peril is a great example of this, where we are just the hapless rube who gets talked into doing all the villain's plans for them. We're not very smart. We just sort of yes and whatever's told to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this playing the Necromancy tutorial quest and thinking, I like how they've kind of used that, where the player character says, or like, we're told you have to be a necromancer. How can we be a necromancer while being a good person? And bumbling idiot just kind of blurts out, why can't we just ask them?
yeah.
And everyone's like, wait, no, you can't. Huh? No, you can't do that. And then we do it anyway. I like that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and Avernick, on this, I know this was something that you and I discussed in the lead up to this episode. Mm-hmm. On this, how do you feel that this whole idea of consensual necromancy went through the skill, and, you know, in terms of just the difference between what we were thinking it was going to be going in?
I think it really like leaned into that, yeah, like that RuneScape-y, like not comedy, but like whimsicalness. Mm-hmm. And I've seen complaints on both sides, like, oh, this isn't enough, like, this is still, I think, necromancy, or the other side is like, I wanted to be edgy and like that, but like, I feel like this is like a really solid middle ground on the bell curve, like just appeasing as many possibly players as possible, because I feel like that was probably something talked about a lot in the lead up to the skill by the developers, was like, how do we actually do necromancy where our character is defined good, whereas opposed to, like, I think a lot of other games would treat it as the character is neutral, the player is neutral.
Right.
Yeah. But they're definitely like pigeonholing us into good, and it does matter throughout the story. Like, that's actually ends up being like a big plot point, is that we chose good. So I think that that was a very risky choice, and they definitely went with it and carried being through all the quests to the point where that's kind of spoiling through the way, but like
that's what lets us win. That's fine, because I forgot to give the spoiler warning at the start of this, because this is quest week, of course. We're going to be going over details on that, so spoiler warning for this episode. And, you know, the first thing that kind of goes to in terms of carrying that forward with this is the fact that in the Necromancy tutorial, the first quest, Necromancy, Ichlerin, of course, appears, and we need to, in effect, convince him that, you know, it's going to be okay, and he reluctantly lets us go forward with that, saying that, okay, I'm still not 100% on board with this, but I'm going to be watching you, and we're going to, you know, make sure this, you know, doesn't go too badly. And as we know, that that furthers the meme, the myth of consensual necromancy, the wonderful meme that is on the YouTube video version of the show right now.
We remembered to ask.
Yeah, the two people, of course, consent, and Ichlerin's in the background. I don't. Isn't there somebody you forgot to ask?
I feel like Vax is like a good subtle reason for like why it had to be the player that did this, right? Like usually the question is why is the player the chosen one? And it's like it's because the player is the one that stumbled into this answer, and that's what ends up working. So it's a backdoor chosen one excuse, I feel. Which worked.
And I mean, even later on, there's question of, you know, where the player's connection as World Guardian lands into this too, and we'll maybe touch on some of that as we progress through this episode. But once again, I mean, for a tutorial and onboarding a skill, I think we're already at a point where we realize that, yeah, okay, it's going to be the story's going to be woven through that, but. The next quest that came up was Rune Mythos, and of course, for the people who just want a space bar, which we need to be honest, there's going to be a whole bunch of people out there who were in the space bar.
It's a skill.
I'm right here, yeah. Shane.
I know it's a combat skill too, Avernick. You're forgetting that.
Well, it's combat skill, so the statistics are drastically skewed.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And this was the onboarding for Necromancy, Rune Crafting, and Incantations, which was neat. But there was the one line. There was the one line, if you had already completed Extinction in Rune Mythos, when it comes to the runecrafting altars. Pocket Dimension of Erebus. Oh. Huh.
Yeah. Little background thread being carried through and Lichness Mortifier saying, yeah, don't think about it too hard. And
that was their
key. It's nice to keep the theme going.
And that was their note to the player, with where the character literally says, "Don't think about it too hard," because they don't want another case of Sliske's masks going forward.
Yeah, it's a good detail to like keep thematic consistency for like what necromancy is and stuff like that. But it's clearly not like the central point of the runecrafting and the skills. That it's Erebus. We're definitely doing Erebus now. That's what we're doing for the next 10 years. It's just. Like, they're just keeping it consistent and referencing that they are doing so.
Yeah, because, you know, but at the same time, we're kind of venturing dangerous close to that, because I forget in one of the quests, there was a mention of Zautak, of course, too. But once again,
does come back later. This does come up later.
It's hard to avoid it with Necromancy, I feel, but yeah. I mean, we're still in 4-3 land.
And I mean, since we're just here at the beginning, I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm going to say that I haven't been convinced that the small stories are the way to go, and I wouldn't be and I wouldn't be sad if Zaros came back at some point, or we did something interesting related.
See his corpse floating in the background of the runecrafting altar.
I don't know about that.
The
skill themes definitely like say like we started developing this during Elder God Wars.
It took
a while to come out.
That could just be it too. But the next one is Killy Rowe, and once again, another tutorial in line with Necromancy and Rune Mythos. But the interesting part about this one is that this is continuing the story of the dwarves, specifically some of the lore we picked up in the Warforged dig site, And, of course, the story of pies, piggybacking on Thurgo's red berry pie. And for many people, these were just, you know, innocuous item upgrade tasks all the way to tier 90. But at the same time, I feel like we just threw out that probably our character, and I don't know if we did, but I feel like our character forged a closer relationship with Killy there. How do you, like, did you guys feel as players that we learned more about her and connected, or do you think it was just our character doing that?
In the way that these quests are a progression through the skill, I feel like the tasks were also a progression through the skill, and both were meant to just like tie you emotionally more to what's going on. And I think that the dialogue was suitably RuneScape-y and playful and fun to the point where I think people like checking in. Is my sense of it? I did, at
right.
least.
Yeah, it was. It's fun to get the little bits of character that come through. Mm-hmm. I think that's the positive side of the let's tie lore to everything, is you get some of that little character.
I have seen complaints on the opposite, where people are like, this is too much story tied to something that should be more mechanical. And it's Tannis laughing, sounds like he might think that as well.
No, I don't. I was thinking... you can't please everybody.
That is true. That is true. But like, just, yeah, the methods of like upgrading gear shouldn't be so like beholden to story. But I don't know.
It wasn't in the grand scheme of things, was it?
It was a little bit of fluff.
I can speak to this, right? Because I would not have done it. If there was any other way to upgrade my gear, like it was only because I had to do it that I did it. And I actually thought, I thought it was fine. Like I thought the story, like the personality with Killy was kind of like the bonus. It was kind of like the little extra you got for doing the tutorial on how to do, you know, those kind of quest task to me are what I prefer rather than a puzzle. So, you know, if you're going to force me to do a quest, then at least they gave me a little something along the way.
Just thinking about it now, actually, I think I realized that the Killy tasks were a lot very similar to like the Doric and Borg tasks. What's mm-hmm. not as yours? So I think that might have been actually
And plus you're getting so much more for this too. I mean, tier 90 tank or power armor, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Just some spending bonus experience.
Yeah, and another interesting thing about this is we finally have blueberry pies at the end of it.
That was weird. I don't know how I feel about them going to Scape Room. Yeah,
yeah.
That's like a very weird like canon addition.
Escape Room in 2023 is such that was not on my bingo card.
And the thing was is that they just rolled with it, and there was a certain amount of jank in there too, because it was very clearly an area that had not been retexturized and was using the same computer generated textures from 2008 era.
Yep.
Oh yeah, some varying requirement on the tasks. Yeah.
So
weird. It's RuneScape-y.
I appreciated it. Them. And I mean, it's a shame that the blueberry pies are not tradable.
It sure they're, was, because so I went to the GE so first.
But all the other ones were, Tannis. All the other ones were.
I know. I went there first, too.
And then we get to that old black magic.
We started now, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started.
We should have called it that old favor. Just
any
one
favors?
More. Yeah.
It is a special quest now. I don't know. I don't think any of us played it that way, but
no, you know, I did it on release.
Actually, that was a week or two ago. Made it a special quest.
Okay. Yeah, I did it piece by piece. So what do they do with it as a special quest? Do they like give?
I don't think they
get
quest points per. So
no.
I think it's the same because they gave rewards as you went along anyway. Or did it? No. I think it's just presentation.
Along.
It should just be presentation.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't look any... Having finished it doesn't look any different. I don't know how it looks if you haven't done it.
Yeah. I mean, I think people are just like, oh, I thought I could finish this now. Although if you look at the reward, it's like 45,000 experience at level 30-something is quite a lot.
Something seems wrong about that. But I mean, I do think it's a fair criticism. Because
you can't finish it.
Yeah, you don't finish it till 65.
Yeah, expectations weren't met.
They weren't communicated well.
Communicated, sure. But I had a lot of fun with it. I thought, do some interesting things. Didn't do archaeology on my bingo card when I was they released necromancy.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people did.
Yeah, that was interesting. Because two things on this, and it was really what's the term I'm looking for? Not the tale of two worlds. It was like it was like yin and yang together, I guess you could say, because on one hand, we're here, we're doing this, you know, maybe the most RuneScape-y quest for the city of that involves putting a band back together, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, for person number two, No Gums Murray, you have to go excavate an Everlight trumpet.
Right.
Everlight.
And then
on maybe your second or third day of necromancy. And immediately.
Oh, but it gets worse.
just wait. And immediately for me with this turned on the switch in my head that said, oh, I'm going to be comparing necromancy to archaeology all the way through now.
They put them next to each other. How do they not expect?
And I mean, archaeology, second favorite skill in the game.
Second to what?
Farming.
That was a joke.
But the Everlight dig site, that's also my favorite in terms of presentation, in terms of how it looks. And it's like, how can you ask me to go to Everlight and take part in archaeology on my second day of necromancy and not compare the two? And, you know, I'm not saying this was a bad thing to do. I'm just saying it really put it into the spotlight of how different these skills are. And, you know, It at the time, it really showed the things that needed to be pushed in the right direction with necromancy in terms of rituals and some of the UI stuff. And you know, I think we got there now, a month and a bit in. But wow, for the second or third day, that was not a comparison I was expecting to make, I have to say.
That was
archaeology.
I was afraid
to get back into.
Yeah, I was afraid it was going to be inedible, but I didn't think that they would draw attention to it themselves, like to force people to make the comparison.
Well, I think because one of the things that you hear JMods talk about, like Mod Jack has brought this up a few times, is something that quests used to do and they don't really do well anymore is integrate with skills. And they tried doing that. Like divination, they kind of over relied on, but. Like back in the day, you would do a quest and you'd have to go and, you know, make a potion or like craft some leather or whatever. And you don't really
mine
do that
rock,
anymore. Yeah, mine some weird rock. That's not a thing they do anymore. So I appreciate that they do that here where, yeah, they tie some other skills in. And if you're going to do that, it makes sense to pick archaeology because it's the least bad. Let me put that another way. It's the most up to modern design standards.
It's the most good.
Yeah. The least bad, or to put it another way, the most good. Yeah.
And you know, level 42 for the Everlight trumpet, by that time people are gonna know exactly how to do that and it's not gonna be a barrier. So
right. And 42 archaeology is not super difficult, especially not now that the XP embargo is long gone.
Yeah. Okay.
People definitely lamp their way to all of the quest requirements for archaeology.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun to watch on Fresh Start Worlds. Next up is Zombie Brains Walker the Pianist. Requires level 50 necromancy. And this one was actually the simplest of the bunch. Just required a bunch of bone runes and flesh runes, really.
I think this one was the most more interesting on release day than it is now because runes were so insanely expensive that you had to just do it yourself. And now it's just bringing some bot runes, which is fine. Less interesting.
Which yeah. I mean, make the piano keys with that. So, okay.
All right.
And then we get to the Spirit of Rhythm. Oh boy, I heard horror stories about this one. Because for this one, you need to obviously have completed the Spirit of War at level 65 and have the ability to kill Hermod. And you need to find the drumsticks. And I think we were talking in pre-show about where we all landed in terms of kill count to get the drumsticks. Mine was about 20 Zerdones.
Oh, I don't remember mine. I got mine pretty early, though.
Okay, Avernus?
I didn't go super dry.
Mine was probably a little over 20, but yeah, like not like pull your hair out.
Yeah, and you know, Tanis has his own issue with Hermod, so.
Hermod's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So fine. What are you at for kill count then?
Oh gosh, probably like think last time I looked was around 72.
And no drumsticks.
No, I don't remember when I got.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember when I got. I don't think it was too bad, or I would have been pissed.
Yeah, yeah,
my lack of aggression means it was bad.
People's anger is on a bell curve.
Yeah.
I mean, they did add bad luck mitigation to it, because I know one of the people who hangs around in the in the friends chat was north of 100 before he got his drumsticks.
Oh, that's rough.
Oh god.
So
yeah, that's grim.
How do we feel about Hermod? Not the that's probably skipping ahead, but Hermod is that like the worst grind in the world? People are probably a little more upset than others about just like the numbers, but like I don't feel like it's like hard. It's just tedious.
I had the complete log by 193.
Congratulations.
You lucky mother.
I do not have the. I did not get the pet.
Dude,
so
he is. Yeah,
it's
I know.
Pet or not.
I had the pet, the drumsticks, and all the plates I needed by 193.
Of course, you
all the plates you needed.
Yeah,
like a 29. Oh my
yeah.
goodness.
Wow. Yeah, and then he started working on his Rossio log immediately after.
Look like
illegal.
Hey, I'm still having problems getting the Rossio kills under 2 minutes, but that's a topic for later.
I think he has a secret potato that he doesn't tell anybody about.
He's got inside connections.
Uh-huh.
Oh God! Don't link me. Don't link me to the mob.
I think we skipped over Lady Grey because
I did skip over Lady Grey. Dragon,
because Dragon Nern was like an interesting little pull in. Nothing crazy,
that was
and that was also kind of fun to go back to, I guess, in terms of just linking to the Lumbridge Catacombs. I mean, when you would pick up
more necromancer,
when you would pick up that old black magic, it kind of makes sense that that's where you would go. So,
I think it also works as a bit of stealth tutorialization, because the Lumbridge Cat, like, you're doing this at pretty low necromancy. What is the Lumbridge Catacombs full of?
Undead
Very
creatures.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Undead creatures with low defense and reasonably good, like, health. So they're not terrible XP at low levels.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, before we knew rituals was the way to go until about level 70, I spent a good amount of time in the catacombs.
Yeah.
Before Shadow
Warriors.
I think
a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I also feel like this was the most RuneScape-y quest of the bunch, just because it had us going to all these different spots, doing all these different things, and at the end of the day, it was a very simple task. Put the band back together for the City of Umm, and of course, for anybody who hasn't listened to it, go listen to Scape Jazz, one of the rewards from this quest.
It's
wonderful.
A banger.
Wonderful.
Absolutely amazing song.
So,
the reward.
And my favorite thing is if you walk into the City of Umm and you walk closer and closer to the bandstand, the music gets louder as you get closer to it.
Yeah, I like it. It also, as you progress in the quest, they add in the different
instruments.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I don't even think I have my music on, actually. I'm not a quester. Sorry.
I only try to use
my space bar.
Oh, no.
Well,
All right, well, let's go on to the Vessel of the Harbinger, and this is where these things start to add a bit of necromancy story to them. And this one has us going back to Port Phasmatis, believe it or not, in terms of learning about, you know, some of the past actions of Raziel, and in particular, what's up with the vessel. And, you know, for people who had not done the Port Phasmatis storyline and Ghost Ahoy in the immediate immediate run up to this quest, you kind of forget that, oh boy, this is actually an area where, you know, we did these things maybe back in 2005, 2008-ish era, and they've just been kind of sitting there since, but now there's an actual reason for us to go back there and pick some stuff up with that, in particular some information from Nettie, who of course has passed on, but we of course deal with necromancy and we're able to glean a bit of information from that, and this is where we really start filling in the gaps and painting the picture of what Raziel is up to in terms of what he wants to do with us as we progress through this. Quick take on this quest, Averneck.
Quick take. This is was a really nice sequel to Ghost Ahoy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think when we start underscoring all these things and we look through this, maybe this is the kind of quest that RuneScape players want. I don't know. Because we said that old black magic, of course, felt very RuneScape-y. But at the same time, this was also, I think, very much in the template of what an old quest would have been. So I enjoyed it from that perspective. Zerdones?
I agree with that. I think I have thoughts about how it and basically everything else ties into the broader Raziel story that I'll save for later. But in terms of a sequel to Ghost Ahoy, like picking up some of those threads, seeing where Port Phasmatis is at. Yeah.
And I also think, and I don't remember whether it was you or Averneck that said this, but this is the way we go back to past storylines in the future. Could you imagine how incensed the community would have been if this had been the gnomes?
Yeah, this you need to tread carefully when you're going back to old quests like this. Because, you can go back to Port Phasmatis and just be like, oh, hey, guys, how you doing? Just popping in. But there's some things you can't do that with.
Specifically the things that are deemed unfinished, right?
Yeah, like things like gnomes I don't think you can do very well. I don't think you could do, like what the worst Elemental Workshop 5 I can imagine is, like, some future skill sends you to the workshop and, oh no, a meteorite destroyed it. We'll never know what was underneath.
Oh,
I know there's...
Now that sounds like the best Elemental Workshop possible.
Oh boy.
Do that.
There's not even dialogue to spacebar in those quests.
No, it's even worse. It's puzzles.
Yeah, it's even worse. That's a whole other can of worms.
No, there's one thing I learned when Averneck was on the show last time is that it's going to be me and him for Elemental Workshops going forward, right?
Uh-huh. Hell yeah.
Oh, I like Elemental Workshop.
Okay, the three of us
then. I defend
then.
Elemental Workshop.
One more to the gag.
How many can we get?
I don't know. That's a good point, though. I was going to say, that's a good point with, like, the revisiting Ulcerados, because I feel like the Desert series is very primed for necromancy content, but this didn't touch it.
They can't do that after Old School's Desert Treasure 2, because people are going to want that for RS3, and if they cop out with something like this...
Yeah,
Oh, well...
Yeah, Desert was just like a product of no zone. Maybe, like, when they do Desert, they can put necromancy in it, but as far as going from necromancy to touching Desert... A good call not to.
Yeah, I agree. So, and, you know, I think if I'm going to sum up what we're talking about here, is that it's fine to go back to these sorts of areas that, you know, are kind of deemed finished and done. Like, we finished the Pirate Quest series, and we finished the Vampire series. So, pretty much everything in Mauritania and Port Phasmatis is done. So with that, it's okay for us
done?
To... the penguins are not done. Penguins are not
done. They're not done? Okay.
But they were always more of the comic relief kind of thing, and I don't know if you could work necromancy into them. I don't know that you could. I mean, maybe you could.
Penguins will make it work. Come on.
Penguins can...
It writes itself.
Yeah. Because it's melting. Their home is melting, Shane. They're going to drown.
Oh boy, yeah. You know,
the fire make Midwest.
You know that would be another one that would split the community right down the middle.
Might as well. I mean, shit. It doesn't everything split the community down the middle now?
Yes. Yeah, lean into it at this point.
But in terms of just bringing things back, what we learn with this at the end of the quest here is exactly how the vessel works. In particular, the soul vessel, and the fact that maybe this is what Raziel is all concerned about in many ways, and we'll get to what the true concern is at the end of it. But suffice to say, it's not the vessel that's what he's primarily interested in. Vessel of the Harbinger was a peek of what's on the way, and then after that we move on to Spirit of War. With this one, you know, this was pretty much the onboarding for Hermod Quest, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I would call it onboarding. It was basically Hermod the quest.
Okay.
Make you do it. In the bay that there is like a group of tutorial quests, there's also a small group of this is the boss quest. And this is one of those.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It can be that. It just doesn't leave a lot of room for like pure quest.
No,
which I think Vessel of the Harbinger Vessel was, but Spirit of War is not.
Exactly. But one thing Spirit of War did do was the four obols for Charon, which, of course, you read that out and you know exactly what they're talking about with that obol for Charon.
Yeah, that gave me archaeology vibes, like they're really like leaning into those real world references.
Yeah, exactly. Like because you know, like past cases of Roman and whatnot, for Ceridoman and the Everlight Dixites and whatnot with that. I do want to talk about mechanics on this one, because I know this was a problem probably for you, Tanis, but also for other people who had vision issues on this, and I'm specifically talking about the Wayward Souls and the rowboats.
Man, I almost forgot
was the indicator? Or was just find the soul floating over the water?
Yeah, it was just find the soul.
Yeah.
They're just wandering.
Okay, that was
around.
The indicator.
Yeah, and you know, they've mapped them out since then, but at the same time, just the level of contrast that they've shown and the bubble manner of that when you would be near them kind of made them hard to see. So this was probably the one I'd say that caused the most accessibility issues out of any of the quests that were there. But I know one thing people really appreciated with this quest, it was the rowboat. Because we all know this is as close as RuneScape 3 gets to sailing.
We did it first. Roll out the banners.
Yeah.
I am going to say, as someone with no excuse, I also had an immense issue fighting those souls.
Okay.
I circled dialing three times, probably.
Okay,
yeah, I had a bit of an issue too.
Yeah, I'm not for like high test to be like the mechanic.
That's fair.
You know, like,
yeah.
Not crazy about it.
Yeah. Okay. At the same time, I kind of have to defend this quest too, because I feel like the rowboat and the run you can do around with this is probably one of the best ways to see the graphics of the city in terms of panning towards the city and seeing all the different areas of it and even the little islands with the trees on it that are there. So
the rowboat is a it's a fun addition. It's a nice kind of like additional movement set. I wish there was more to do out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun animations. I like how like you can surge and escape.
Oh,
in
really?
The robot and you actually like push the oars all the way forward. Fantastic. And kind of glide for a bit. So there's a lot of attention to detail.
I didn't know that.
Quite cool.
Yeah, similar to the Stormguard Citadel line.
Yes.
That's exactly it. But hey, this means the next skill is sailing, right? Since the
sailing
tech
confirmed.
Since the tech is there.
Mm-hmm. Sailing confirmed, 2025.
If it's not, we riot.
Cannons and 66, boys.
Yeah, but it's only available on Treasure Hunter.
Oh no, don't.
Or level 120 of Hero Pass, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you went there. You did it. That's on you.
Oh no, I'm keen to take that hot spear and stab it to whoever I need to at this point, because you know I made it clear that this week was going to be about quests, and we can joke about that because the community has been heard, and at this point it's just you know time to kind of sit down and wait and see what they have to say on that. But also on that note, two other things before we move on to next quest here.
Uh-huh.
When you're running around in the rowboat, there's also, you know, a couple of other little skeleton guys that you could find. And this is also true for the entirety of the city. You can just go talk to random people in the city, and this really helps if you don't have the soul requirements. You can sometimes just get, you know, like 25, 40 souls from some of the people that you run into in the city, and you just talk to them.
Yeah, I think it's about... I want to say it's 500 in total, something like that. It's not a lot, but it's not nothing.
Yeah. So it's something for people to do if you have not. And I don't know, maybe this is, you know, some trim or master quest requirement at this point. I haven't had a chance
to. It is.
To
it's a trim rec.
Okay. Okay. And also, when you're out and about rowing, the skeletons each have a different colored boater on their head. As in, you know, they're boaters on the water, so they're all wearing boater hats. I don't know if anybody else,
which is also an achievement for you to do.
Oh, really? To go out there wearing a different color?
Well, I think you have to talk to one of them while wearing a boater hat.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't think it matters which color you wear, but yeah, that is an achievement.
Oh, maybe for some people this will become their favorite quest of the series. Just for the boating action.
Floating along in the river.
It's kind of a weird inclusion for the Hermod quest.
Yeah, it is. It is, because after this you go straight to fighting Hermod. So
yeah, but I need to work some invention in with my sailing so I can go motorboating.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so you're already planning the expansion for sailing. It's gonna be based on invention.
There we go.
Oh.
I think that unlocks at level 69 sailing.
Yeah, I believe it does.
Oh my god.
You didn't even have a quest week, can you, Shane?
No, it's fine. Never. It's fine. Avernick, how do you feel about that requirement for the unlock?
I guess I could see it.
Okay.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Tombs of the Warlock. This is where
tombs
things...
Tombs or tomes?
Tomes.
Tomes, not tombs?
Okay. It depends on how you want to pronounce it.
Yeah. So...
But...
So, the purpose of this one... is to learn more about Orcus, a former Zerosian apprentice of Raziel. And immediately with this, everybody's eyes should be opening up to realize, where have we heard this before? Where have we heard this before? Well, of course, everybody is aware of the Blood of the Orcus archaeology material. So that is the way this quest is going, in that it is yet another huge callback to archaeology, and in particular, the Zerosian side of things, to the point where we actually need to go talk to Dr. Nabonik at Caradet to get our first task, which involves excavating a necromantic focus, restoring it, and then returning to the exam center after that. So not only are we, with this one, drawing callbacks immediately to archaeology, we're drawing callbacks to our previous huge master story arc of the Xerosians. So, that was something.
That's actually something that annoyed me on release. Like, I've seen a lot of people complaining about the lore fails in necromancy, and I think most of those complaints are, dumb?
Yeah.
But this one bugged me, because on release, the dialogue with Death said, you need to go and I'm paraphrasing, basically said, you need to go and talk to Azanadra. And the player character responds, oh, he's Dr. Nabonek. But he isn't.
It depends on where you are in the book.
Right. I felt like that was... I'm fine with the fact that the quest, or that the skill as a whole kind of plays fast and loose with 5th age, 6th age. Are we the World Guardian? Aren't we? I'm fine with that. I get that. I did think it was weird to not acknowledge this, like, material change in the personality of the world, the characters who are out there in the world. And to Jagex's credit, they did fix that a couple of weeks ago. But I thought that was weird on release.
That was weird oversight.
Yeah.
And that's because there's many instances of Azanadra, right?
Well, I think it's the reason it happened is because one of the problems that this quest series runs into is because it's tied to a skill, it has to assume that you don't know anything about the lore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, its target audience is all players, regardless of whether they started yesterday or 23 years ago.
It will.
So, Dr. Nabonek, the first time you talk to him, he tells you, by the way, it's me, your friend Azanadra. Like, that's an ingrained part of archaeology's story.
Yeah.
So if necromancy was acknowledging that, it had to assume that was all that you knew.
Right. And my question with this is, what happens if somebody's doing this quest in necromancy who hasn't done Desert Treasure and freed Azanadra?
Well, that was a problem with archaeology to begin with.
Yeah, that's a problem with archaeology. And I think more generally, that's a problem with the 5th age, 6th age split, which I think is maybe a topic for another day, but I think it assumes that you have freed Azanadra, because from the player character's perspective, that has happened in the past.
Right.
Right, but at the same time, it does not acknowledge that Azanadra has since left. And this is now what he's until.
It does now, but it didn't on
it does list. Now. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it assumed that the player was at a very specific point, which was post Desert Treasure, but pre Battle of the Monolith or Extinction or something, or aftermath something.
Yeah.
Which is a very, like, it's a broad place to place the character's technical timeline, but, like, it's not always technically accurate.
Right. And then if that was the case, that wouldn't really make sense for necromancy, then, would it, in terms of where necromancy sits?
Right, because necromancy kind of has to sit anywhere. It's intentionally outside of a specific timeline.
Which, yeah, it's good that it works now. And clearly they had other dialogue checks in. This one just seemed, yeah, very, like, obviously missed. Because I definitely also thought the same thing.
All right, fair enough. We also have to, with this, find four books, the books of Ice, Shadow, and Blood, and Smoke, of course. And with this, you, in addition to excavating the necromantic focus, you also go talk to Reldo in the Varrock Palace Library for the Ice Book. The Smoke and Blood books we start off with at the Wizard's Tower for Wizard Boran, and then we find out that for the second one, we need to go to the Wizard's Guild in Yanil. And then the Shadow Book was deemed to be so evil that it was hidden at the bottom of the Grand Library of Penaphos.
Like,
so yeah, that was something.
Not to harp on the quest too much, but
oh, please,
the section
harp on
definitely.
It.
Oh goodness, the section definitely showcased that the dialogue was working really funky. I think because like while it's not like Wizard Boren, like you immediately like finish the point when he gives you the book and tells you to go to the Wizard's Guild, and then the dialogue doesn't stop; just goes right into oh, and here's that staff for her mysteries that you've since destroyed. And yeah. That happened a couple times in a lot of these dialogues in this quest specifically. It didn't happen in any of the other quests, which was really weird. But a lot of these dialogues just did not like nonstop sort of right into like their normal like item reclaim dialogue or something stupid like that. Which I'm not sure why that happened, but it happened more than once.
Yeah, some weird scripting going on, I guess.
Yeah,
I think
probably
that's been clean since as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, probably just a way of lining things up and in a way so that you know, those dialogue options would be presented automatically. And then after that, you go into the question of lost items. I do have to say, going to the bottom of the Grand Library, that one probably threw me the most here because I know that that's something that we really, really only used a little bit of in the Menaphos quests themselves, and you know, lore wise, quest wise, there's really no reason to go back to the Grand mm-hmm. Library after that for the Book of Shadow. So,
yeah, I'm glad they're less afraid of using Menaphos lately, especially with Succession and now this.
Yeah,
we're actually going.
And you know, I think it was good. I think it made sense the way they did that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep,
that's the one little desert tie in all of these quests.
And again, putting archaeology front and center, and you know, before what you said, Zerdones, about how it's not maybe not necessarily the explicit choice of doing that, but it's just the skill that's the best polished outside of necromancy, and people are going to have access to it, and that's probably the reason for that.
They're good.
So,
well, in this case, it also ties very explicitly into Orcus, who is one of the relatively few characters who exist in the game already who were tied to necromancy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we also need to say that before, a few weeks ago, the ingredient to make the super necromancy potion was the blood of Orcus, the archaeology material. They tried doing that. There wasn't enough in-game. They moved it to congealed blood instead.
There still wasn't enough in-game. But
yeah, they buffed that this week. So
yeah, Ancient Summoning uses enough blood of Orcus, so we don't need another singer.
Yeah. But you complete this quest, and you're given a new archaeology mystery. No, not a mystery. A research.
Research.
Special research.
Yeah, a special research task called Nom 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 Nom. We got a case of the noms.
I don't know about
there,
you guys, but everyone in my clan was recompleting all of the carrot at
yes.
research.
Yeah.
The past
yeah,
month.
That confused a lot of people. They're like, why is everyone doing this now? Why aren't you guys playing necromancy?
I don't hate it. I'm a big advocate for just adding like little mysteries or research
oh, yeah.
to archaeology.
Oh, yeah.
I will definitely take more of it. But
yeah,
the way they have the notification set up, it's definitely maybe not the best for it.
Yeah, it's kind of silly.
Yeah, but you want to do this because this is a requirement for Master Quest. And what this does, after you complete this research task, you are given a set of coordinates, 2 degrees, 16 minutes north by 7 degrees and 24 minutes east, which leads you to a spot behind the Necromancer's Tower. And when you dig there, Raziel appears, and you talk to him, and you get 15,000 necromancy XP. And with this, you, in effect, just get another little chunk of lore for doing this, which, again, highlighting necromancy versus archaeology, it gives that feeling that archaeology always had, that there was just so many little things around the edges put there for you to discover, that it was like, okay, is necromancy going to have these sorts of things? But no, instead, what they did to bring those into necromancy is they just went with archaeology. And, you know, I can see that, actually. And when this launched, I was kind of upset about it, that there wasn't that sort of, you know, sense of discovery with necromancy. But I get that that's not what necromancy is about, because it's a combat skill, right? So instead we got this now using archaeology to do that same sort of sense of putting us around the world and discovering little interesting edge cases about that.
Yeah, the sense of discovery is more mechanical in necromancy.
Yeah, and that aesthetic of discovery, which I think a lot of people try to RuneScape, just jives so well with archaeology that I think we all just like want more of it.
Yeah.
And this kind of illustrates like that's archaeology's place in the world. We should use it more for that. Not necessarily that everything else has to be that discovery bit, but let's bring archaeology back whenever we want to do that.
Right. And you know, the two immediate things that pop up for that is getting a conclusion to writing on the walls, as well as the Voss bit from underneath Centistan.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, areas sure. archaeology could go. And I don't think they need to go to cosmic levels to do that like they were doing before. But it's definitely one of those like dangling threads from archaeology. And it was just nice having, you know, a little bit of extra dialogue with Raziel, where he talks to you about Orcus and says that, you know, Orcus sought me out to devour my remains. It's a Clithonian thing, and he sought to absorb my knowledge and power. Unfortunately for him, the reverse is what happened. And I hone in on that line in particular because, and this is where we go with the remainder of the necromancy storyline, that's precisely what Raziel is up to for us. He wants to use what we've learned and use that to make himself more powerful. And I think for people reading between the lines, they could see that that's kind of where we were heading for this one. So that's where we start to, I think, get the true impact from these quests. So,
yes, a couple of things about this quest I want to bring up.
Please.
The first is that, this one kind of is where it clicks, where like Raziel gets something from each of his apprentices. Like he learned something from Orcus. It was the value of having an apprentice, because he was his first apprentice. And Tom, like, you can get things from underlings. So I thought that was really cool. It was also really interesting with this quest that this was the only one where Raziel doesn't show up during the quest. Like, he shows up during the post-quest.
Right.
Every other quest, he shows up. So it's kind of weird. I think that they might have maybe cut it because the research time, the 30 minutes to get to this point. That was just a little observation where he's still in it, but like not as central as the other ones.
Because you couldn't it probably wouldn't be good quest-wise to make somebody wait 30-odd minutes to complete their quest.
I can imagine the Reddit threads now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to mention was that this was, for a couple of days there, 86 archaeology was the highest quest requirement, skill quest requirement. When we knew about this just before Necromancy came out.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Necromancy came out.
That's actually a good point. That's actually a good point.
But 86 was one higher than 85, which was the previous highest.
Yep.
Kind of weird you need 86 archaeology to be like the level 75 Necromancy quest, but I mean, everyone loves archaeology, right?
Yeah. And, you know, that's actually good that you mentioned that, because this shows that we're in for a sea change with this, and Jagex isn't going to be afraid to put high-level quest requirements in going forward.
Yeah, absolutely, which is...
I mean, case in point, level 95...
Anyone can tie.
Net 95 for Alpha versus Omega.
XP inflation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's real.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
It is. That's a fun
topic.
It's
good to acknowledge it.
And it's better for the progression of the skill, right?
Like, yeah.
The story from 1 to 99 is more fluid, more consistent.
Yeah. And, you know, that's actually a good time to mention the monthly bit that we did and thank our Patreon supporters for this episode. Because in a couple of our pieces of forgotten content, we actually talked about XP and where XP lands in all of that, and, you know, whether or not there's too much XP in the game. And I know that's a controversial statement, but we But we actually looked at that with the Tears of Gothics this week on the monthly bit. So if you want to hear that episode and more, check us out at patreon.com/rsbnb, and you can sign up there, just like all these other fine people did, including Alfie S., Alvaro L., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Chulbura, Chunk the Monk, Dominic R., Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Keski, Ling01, Maniac RS, Mohan Veet, Mr. Crafty, Nate the Great, Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Seth W., Shirtpants, Tabby, The Naked Captain, The Dab and Goat, Tim, Tom V., Ukulele Steve, and Zant. And, of course, I mentioned XP inflation and the huge amounts of XP we already get in the game. And, you know, we did briefly touch on that in our monthly bit where we talked about some of the forgotten content in RS, in particular the Tears of Gothics, and how that has gone down in value just because you can get XP elsewhere so easily at this point in time. But we also looked at a number of other pieces of content as well, including Shattered Worlds, the Camelot Quest series, and a few others. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can sign up at patreon.com/rsbnb for as little as $1 a month and gain access to that episode and entire back catalog of bonus shows. And of course, we also have a VIP tier for $3 a month where you receive a special rank on Discord, including chat channel access and mention on the podcast at the start of the month, in addition to high-quality stereo versions of the show. And, of course, we also have our Insider tier, where you receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week, and you get access to the clips we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. And you do also get a Christmas card in December with that. So, wonderful value there. And, of course, patreon.com/rsbnb is where you can sign up for this, and we're extremely grateful for all of our Patreon subscribers for allowing us to do what we do here. It means the world to us. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks.
All right. Next quest on the list, Remains of the Necrolord. And this is the Dungeoneering Saga look back and call back on this one, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah, I think that upset some people.
Did it upset you?
I didn't love it.
It didn't upset me, but there's definitely a lot of people that weren't getting out of Dune and Deer and Vengeance or Sagas in general.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that wasn't very well communicated was that you needed to have 100% completion. So you need to
do all
the
bonus objectives. I think it was specifically communicated that you didn't need 100% completion beforehand, but then it ended up being yes.
Turned up being you did, yeah.
Yeah. It's not changed.
Yeah. That wasn't very clear.
Yeah, so any faults of this quest then fall squarely at the feet of the Dungeoneering Saga system then, right?
I love this quest. That was great.
Tell us why you loved it then.
I thought it really worked well off of Nadir and Vengeance, which are both prominent in the recent story with Legacy of Zamorak, as well as managing to word their way into this. I thought that those are like really good pieces that do get unfortunately covered in some jank related to the sagas. And there were like some like really interesting, I think specifically for Vengeance, there was some interesting like reframing as to what's actually going on in that saga, which I'm not sure if that was like the original intention or if that's just something they're doing now. It's like make Phantoms more of a thing, but those were my favorite parts. I think that there's also a lot of like, a lot of people gravitated towards like the ritual terminology and the
Zaratak
boss thing. That was a big fan favorite. And this one also like was really good at using necromancy. Like we did a ritual, and that's something right. that I don't feel like was the rituals feel very contained to that one spot. And this one like broadened that a little bit. So
yeah,
those
there
are
other places.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a problem? Is that a problem that rituals are contained to
I think it's an opportunity feature.
Right, so different ritual site, different vessel.
Different ritual sites, vessels, ritual options, maybe we transform different things or whatever. But yeah, I think that's something that is definitely available.
Okay, fair enough. We start off, of course, by finding the three listless dead, and then you find Lord Yadura's remains, and we find out that, you know, in that Yadura was actually killed by Moya, of all people, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is also another callback, because, you know, Moya, central antagonist of our previous storyline, which, you know, depending on who you ask and where you land, that was either a good thing or a bad thing. So
she's not gone.
And we get to a point with this where Yadura is reborn as an Edemu, but of course only for a short amount of time, because the player, and, you know, this is the term I used with this, the player is played for a fool again, which is, you know, happened countless times before in quests,
yep.
Where, it, you know, the Yadura ritual made it seem as though he was going to be coming back to life, but Yadura winds up being killed off again completely. And, oh, we also learned through this ritual that we have inadvertently made it easier for Raziel to return after death.
That is a weird one because of how Alpha versus Omega ends, but I think we can talk about that then. Like, he doesn't really use that power.
I know, which...
Yeah.
Like,
okay. That's a weird thing.
Any thoughts about why on that?
Yeah. I'm gonna guess this quest was a later edition and the end was already written and they didn't know what to do with it. That's my guess. I don't know. Because we were originally told there were 7 quests, and now there were 9 by the end. So there's 2 new ones somewhere.
Oh, okay. And you'd have to bet that it wasn't the Killy quest, because, you know, we need that for upgrading equipment and whatnot. So
that seems integral. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's maybe they're just saving in the back pocket, like whenever they want to bring Raziel back in the future. Like, okay, now he's going to edit himself. Like, that's the time. But it feels like a weird thing to set up in the penultimate quest.
Yeah, but
in the finale.
Right, but that's not what we learned from Alpha versus Omega, and I think with that we can go there now, unless you guys have anything else from Remains of the Necrolord.
No, I'm good to move on.
I thought this one was a really good, like, self-contained story with Yadura trying to get revenge on us.
Yeah,
worked really well internally.
Like, a good way to look back to the sagas, at least, because that, you know, sagas aren't everyone's favorite piece of content. Janky, pre-EOC stuff, trying to be grafted onto modern RS with, you know, a hint of Daemonheim and Dungeoneering thrown in. And that itself is a recipe for jank. So
I wouldn't be surprised if people discovered they existed with this.
And, oh, definitely.
And I feel like I can say this, but I feel like at this point sagas are just gross. I know they're forgotten content, and I know they're needed. Yeah, that's another thing we talked about in the monthly bit, the Framenic sagas, but good lord.
They're good stories tucked away in bad in jank mechanics.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Alpha versus Omega then. The final necromancy quest requiring level 95 necromancy, making it the highest quest skill requirement in game.
By a mile.
Yeah, by a long shot.
And, you know, like I said, this sets the tone going forward that, you know, oh, we can actually have things that require, you know, north of 90 now, and people aren't going to be afraid to do that. And, you know, maybe they have to be in skills that are quick enough or that have had passes over them. Like, I'm not expecting to need 95 fletching or crafting for a quest anytime soon, because, you know, hey, that would be rough, because those skills are kind of rough themselves, but I digress. The whole point of this is to take Raziel down. And we learn through this that his goal throughout this entire thing was us as apprentice, for us to power ourselves up, and he would do what he did with his previous apprentices. Kill them and take the souls for himself.
Well, I think
30,000 souls.
Yeah, 30,000. I think there's an asterisk to that, because it seems like Raziel actually doesn't really care what happened. I think another way of framing his goal is that he is preparing for something else. And
right,
his perspective is either he's going to protect the world from something else, from that something else, or we're going to protect the world from that something else. And right. He doesn't care who that is, as long as someone does it.
Right, and that's the big problem with this quest, is, and maybe it's not a problem because it was just putting it out there and it's gone now. But we were told world-ending problems were done.
Well, I think that's a more fundamental problem to the storyline as a whole, but...
Yeah. And, I mean, it's like, okay, if we're going this way, fine. I don't know. I mean, it felt simpler than it turned out to be, I'll say. Like, I'll say that. And, you know, maybe that's okay for this quest line, that that's what it turned out to be, and that there might be something on the way that we're not aware of yet. And it might fit into what we've been told is the goal for storylines going forward, to kind of have them be self-contained and not world-ending. But I also go back to that last live stream we had just before Necromancy launched, where Maw Jack went over season versus storyline. And part of me is thinking maybe what we're having in this entire quest line from Necromancy all the way through Alpha Omega, Alpha versus Omega, is in effect that mid-season break that he was talking about, where there can be a different little storyline that's working on one thing, and then we're going to pick up with the fort right after this. Maybe that's what's going on.
Yeah. I think this is a back pocket. Like, they had to do something with Necromancy because they were already making the skill, right? And then they decided to pivot to the fort and all that. So, like, I'm no doubt you're Erebus in 5 to 10 years. And at that point, they
have
this.
Because that's what this is pointing to. It's mentioning Zautak. And it also mentions Voss very briefly in one chat line.
Well, and Raziel specifically calls out the shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, let's be real. What else does that deal with, right? So.
Exactly.
Right. I think the unfortunate consequence of this is that there's probably a segment of player base that is expecting that is immediate.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't think that's the case based on what we've been told out of game.
Right, because I remember in the lead up to Elder God Wars, how excited people were that we were going to, you know, in effect be, you know, looking at the Elder God storyline and seeing more of the Zarosian stuff. And we know what happened to Zaros there is that he kind of just got yeeted away quickly at the very beginning of it with Battle of the Monolith, right? So.
Okay.
And then now we're seeing that Raziel was getting ready for something else at the end. And, well, we're not going to actually look at that for quite some time now. So.
It's a teaser for later.
Like, I can see some people being mad about that, like you said there, Avernick, but at the same time, I think it's very clear that we go back to whatever comes after the fort after this, and we just accept this as kind of like a shorter story arc.
CM like covering their butts when they put out that roadmap. It's like, nope, we're doing Zemmeregal and Warcraft, and that's what we're doing after Necromancy. We're not doing Erebus. Maybe that was the point of that roadmap a couple of days before Necromancy came out. Was
right.
Say,
good point on that. I never connected that to the story.
Yeah, I think they're maybe trying to manage expectations at that point as to what was the post Necromancy season, which was really just on Gale and Vorkath and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, back to the fort.
I feel like the simplest explanation is probably the best on that, rather than, you know, trying to read too much into this. So,
Otherwise, I thought the quest was this was the most this was more, this is the boss than Hermod was, right?
Yeah. Because Hermod's pretty much just like a Slayer creature once you get the base mechanic down, and he's, you know, at the same level of some of the advanced Slayer mobs out there, where he basically has one mechanic, maybe two, and then you can kind of just work around that, whereas you actually fought the Raziel mechanics here in storyline.
What was your difficulty with it?
I got it on the first go.
Ooh, nice. That took me too.
Yeah. I did use lots of food with it, and I basically just, you know, went away ignoring all the mechanics, and I didn't know exactly what was going on.
I spent too long in the obelisk.
Okay. Mm. Yeah.
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 Yeah, they're interesting how they are laid there, and that, you know, you could actually go and, you know, try and kill them, but there's really no point to doing that. So one thing I want to ask you guys with this, in terms of boss story mode and, you know, kind of putting the training wheels on, so to speak, and from a PVM perspective, I don't know what kind of PVM you do, Avernick, but what I'm wondering with this is that if you combine all the tasks that you use to upgrade your armor from, you know, tier 10 all the way to tier 90, and the things you need to do like Nex, Ambassador, so on and so forth, and then you finish this at level 95 with the Raziel fight in Alpha versus Omega, what I'm wondering is this the training wheels to getting more people involved in PVM? By way of a quest and a skill, rather than reverse around where people are drawn to PVM by drops.
I think that a lot like Animate Dead, one of the biggest draws to doing PVM through Necromancy is the tank armor, actually. I think just getting people in there knowing that you have multiple hits and cycles to react to things.
And the passive dodge chance.
Oh yeah, is that kind of stuff's like you're not going to die in 1 to 2 hits. Like, oh, where did all that damage come from?
Right.
I think that's kind of doing a lot of it towards it. Like, I think that's really good. That branch exists.
Like, I was up to 14,000 life points with only the tier 60 tank armor. So, I feel like that.
I think that's
went
a
over
big
well.
Factor.
Yeah, and I mean, by all means, do that for tank armor, because you're giving up. You're giving up the damage boost. I think that's fine. So
absolutely, and a lot of people choose that because it's an easy way. It's the tier 90 weapons and things like that. And just making them encourage people towards that route, and then making them do like a boss like Story of Graziel is probably a lot more encouraging. Or the guy we're done two bosses and things like that. And that path is a lot more encouraging than you have your normal amount of life points and boss are doing huge hits to you and like, oh, I don't even know why I die because I don't know what I'm looking out for.
Right, exactly. Because you know that's how it is in combat, in that you have no idea
what
killed you.
That's the most discouraging thing, is not knowing what you should have done differently.
Yeah, there's no kill log. The mechanics aren't telegraphed properly, and you know, we could go on and on about that, but yeah, okay, good point.
You have to be learning something, absolutely. Yeah. I think the tasks, and both paths, like, there's also the path, like, people that know what they're doing, they're going to take power and stuff like that, and, like, oh, this is how cool Necromancy is. But I think the tank path was really good for that.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't even make the tier 70, 80, 90 tank armor myself. I know I will at some point because of the trim wreck, but...
Trim count.
I just went for the power armor, because, like you said, somebody who's done a bit of PVM knows the way around the system, so that was fine for me, so... So in addition to all the hinting about, you know, shadows and what might be on the way in terms of things that Raziel needs to protect us from, we also learn that in this case, we're dealing with a thing where he says that, well, you know, why didn't this work this time? Why wasn't I able to kill you? And we learn that it's because
the power was inside us all along.
The friends he made along the way.
And it was done in a way that everybody who we conjured up and the spirits we used were with us. As in, it was consensual necromancy. And that's why that was so important at the beginning and why I drew attention to it.
Those candles during those rituals, they made us all like them.
they were so very pretty.
Absolutely.
And
it's cheesy explanation, but you know what? I think it works for... I think it was suitably cheesy.
Yeah. And Tanis, we can compare that to what necromancy is in ESO, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Completely different 180-degree path on that. So...
Yeah.
The traditional RuneScape-y way is what saves us at the end. And like you said, Avernick, maybe it is a cheesy path along the way, and it's our way out. But at the same time, it kind of lines things up for, I guess, how the story is going to go in the future, because it was Raziel in this quest, or was it one of the earlier ones? He mentions he addresses us as our former title of World Guardian, right?
I think it's during Rune Mythos, probably.
Yeah, and the we're completely blown away by the fact that somebody would address us still as World Guardian, given everything that's happened. But the thing that brings us back to with this is that this is a series of quests from the very beginning that is designed, in effect, to open with one thing that, okay, we're doing necromancy, but we're doing it in a very specific RuneScape way, and the quest closes with that same exact thing. You're doing necromancy, and you are this necromancer now, who is very powerful, doing it in this way. And it's going to be different than previous times in the past. So anything that, you know, might need necromancy to kill it, that you would have had to rely on Raziel or somebody else to do in the past, it can be done now, I guess, in good conscience, in air quotes, this time, is what I want to say on that. And I think that sums up the necromancy story in as many words. So
yeah, I feel like it was a good feat and self-contained narrative for like the 1-99 path. At least the Raziel story part of it. I know it ends up.
Yeah, like, I mean that old black magic and the Killy stuff was fine as its own, and you know, could have been standalone.
Yeah,
let's be honest with that.
But Raziel started, middled, and ended in quite a I feel personally satisfying way. Like, yeah.
So now my next question in terms of tying all these things up is that. This is effectively a new brand of questing with this, right? Because it's content that comes out, RuneScape's first piece of tentpole content since Zamorak in ED4 that is using quests to onboard, tell stories, and unlock content, but also with this is going to have your typical lore that's in there. It's going to have high requirements and rewards too. And typically in the past, we've looked to quests as being like an epic arc, like the Elf line, like the Elder God Wars line. And then we've had things that were in between, like the Fort and like the Succession storyline. But this, I think, is an entirely different way of doing questing that they hadn't done before. Granted, it relies on tentpole content, necromancy, dare I say it, an expansion, to get it right. But I think it hit the mark, despite these quests being small on their own. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, it's definitely using quests just to like advertise and guide, which is definitely one way to use the quest list, and it will be better, easier to like point to and tie to and users' requirements and things like that in the future. So I think it's definitely like integrating skill and lore and mechanics and all that on another level, which I'm happy to see.
Yeah, and I mean they're different than any other quest we've had is the point I'm trying to get at with this. And I didn't really see too much complaining in from our end on this. I don't know if any of you guys did.
I like that they did it. I hope that this isn't what quests become forever.
I don't think it will, in my opinion.
Right, because we all go back to, like, the Elder God Wars, the Sixth Age, the gnomes, the elves, the pirates.
Yeah,
and we see those as quest series. We don't want quests to become these little things that are just tied to content.
Right, because here's the thing. If these had come out, let's say, 3 years ago, I would have said, these aren't quests, these are mini quests.
Yeah.
Maybe that old black magic, maybe that one's a quest. Maybe Remains the Necrolord might be a quest. The rest of them are mini quests. They're bite-sized chunks of go to a place, talk to a person, get a little bit of story.
Yeah.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But as we're moving away from the idea of a mini quest, which in fairness was always kind of arbitrary, we start blurring the line between this is a quest, this is what we think of as a quest, and then this is a nugget of story. This is a little quest canapé.
Dare I say it, a fetch quest with a little bit of story at the front and back.
Exactly. So I hope, I don't think they will, and I hope they don't. I hope Jagex doesn't give up on quote-unquote traditional quests.
Right, and my concern with that is that if they see there is more engagement on these than there was on, say, the Elder God Wars arc, that this speaks to the kind of quest they should do.
Right. They have to know that that's apples and oranges, right? I mean, the quest with the Elder God Wars, the focus was on quest at that point, right? And these were quests that were built in to explain and work with a new skill.
Right, but we have to go back, Tannis. We have to go back to that, or that episode we had with Mon Shrike and Mon Jack after Extinction on this. And they said that, yeah, this quest is for questers because, you know, we do quests like this. If we do quests like this, and this was, you know, the headline content around it, only 25% of the players are going to interact with a quest like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's true.
I think that it's like there's two types of quests, and they're both being called the same thing. There's headliner quests, and there's accompanying quests.
Yeah.
And all these Decromancy ones are accompanying quests. But like Dead and Buried, right, Land of Border Succession, those were headliner quests. That was the update. And I think maybe I don't know if it's an issue, but they're both being called the same thing more and more, whereas in the past, yeah, it would have been called mini quests and quests.
Right.
But I think that's only a positive that there's more accompanying quests than there were in the past.
Oh, no,
yeah. Whereas previously it was only headliner quests.
Yeah. We need to be clear that this isn't necessarily a bad thing. We're just defending traditional quests in this manner.
Yeah. Right. The quest updates. And I don't think it's lost. Like, we're like October, we're supposed to be getting another headline request. I don't think it's being confused internally, but I think it might actually be confused among players where they're like, oh, I thought this was supposed to be a quest. It was very short.
Right.
I think that happened.
Right.
Unwelcome guest.
I just want to say that we're actually defending the player base here on this against what the corporate interests of Jagex would be. Because if we're talking about what, you know, what the money is and where the money squarely lands, if it came down to quests in terms of, okay, are quests going to make us money when we do this? I personally don't think quests make money, make Jagex money. So what we're saying with this is that, you know, despite that, continue making traditional quests. And, you know, this is very much the same conversation we had that people were having with Hero Pass, and that we don't want, you know, gameplay buffs added into Hero Pass. We don't want something that's harder to progress than Yak Track. We don't want our daily challenges gone, so on and so forth. And at the end of the day, that's pretty much the same argument that's being made, is that there should not be a case made to cut corners, whether that be like the folks were talking about last week, or like we're talking about this week with Quest. They're pretty much the same side, or two opposite sides of the same coin.
We want our escapee things.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And I know Maud Jack is lead designer right now, comes from the Quest background side of things and has wonderful things like mining and smithing under his belt. And I don't think he would take things that direction. But like I said, if corporate came to corporate and said, you know, only make things that make money, I think Quest would be the first to go, and that would be an unfortunate thing. Let's hope we don't go there. But, you know, as they say, follow the money.
Yeah.
Now, final comment on these is that when Necromancy was getting ready to ship, I believe it was Maud Raleigh who said that these quests are going to be archaeology mysteries plus a little bit. Did they hit the mark on that? If we're looking at these quests as being archaeology mysteries plus a little bit, did they hit the mark on that?
I mean, I think it's a pretty apt description, but I mean, by all means, probably should ask the guy that knows mysteries, you know, intimately.
Yeah, Rowley would certainly know.
Davernick?
I think that three of them do, but I don't blame the others. Oh, four of them do, but I don't blame the other five for not. Like, there's three that are tutorials, and there are two that are introducing bosses.
Right, yeah.
And those are their priorities, and they do that well. There's four quests that I think are more on the brand of mysteries. Vessels, Remains, Tomes, and Old Black Magic. The rest of them, they're serving their purpose, but I don't think advertising has nine quests. If you go in not thinking about, okay, what do those quests have to do, is the right way to think about it.
Right, and if they would have said...
Yes and no.
Right, and if they would have said mini quests, then it would have made a lot more sense, because I do think these were a little bit more than archaeology mysteries, but they weren't at quest level, aside from, you know, having a quest point attached to them and some rewards, so... I can see where that goes, and you know, I you know what I think would actually solve this problem?
What?
A Maud Jack live stream on the
love those
on the nailing down of what is quest versus mini quest versus mystery versus other.
I wouldn't be surprised if they would just say we're not really doing mini quests anymore, and everything's either a very small quest to a very big quest.
Well, they're not.
I don't know.
They're not doing mini quests anymore.
Pretty much.
Did they say that somewhere, or is that just something we're noticing?
I mean, I think
we're noticing.
Yeah, well, I think it's notable that there were a bunch of mini quests that came out and were then later turned into quests.
Right.
Right, and because previously the short note for mini quests was, we don't have to make a quest journal for this if it's right. a mini quest. But that was, right. but as mini quests became more integral to the storyline, like in Elder God Wars with the Oasis ones and Battle of the Monolith, players yep. needed those quest journals to get through these integral pieces of content, and so yep. they've kind of just started making quest journals for all yeah. of it, and now what's even the point of calling it a mini quest?
And right, from what point. I understand on a technical level, the reason the mini quest didn't have quest journals is because only quests could have quest journals, and it was kind of a pain to even at one point have them in the quest list, which has been worked around in the past. So
yeah, so at this point, just like all its story beats, and we want to show players where all these beats are. So
right.
Let's just put them on the quest list.
And then, I mean, if this does yeah. result in the changing definition of a quest, then, and we assume these to be the bare minimum of one quest point, I believe you could just get around this by increasing the amount of quest points, you know, other quests give in the future, to the point where something like Dead and Buried would give two quest points instead of one, maybe, if they were to put something like that else in the game. And, you know, like that's a way around it. If this is going to be a quest, I feel, but...
We do have quests that reward 0 quest points currently, so...
Okay, fair enough.
It does go lower.
Fair enough.
Negative one next.
Oh, God! All right, well, I believe that pretty much wraps us up for Necromancy quests, and, you know, it's certainly not as deep lore-wise as archaeology was, and that's fine, because archaeology was the lore skill, Necromancy's a combat skill, but overall, I enjoyed it. And like I said at numerous points in the past on this episode, I would not be sad if we go back at some point to something cosmic level and see what's going on, you know, with Zaros and Erebus and writing on the wall and the whole Voss business under Centistan. I wouldn't mind having a look at that again if there's some shadow element to be had in the future.
I think that's inevitable at some point. We will have inevitable. To raise stakes up to that level again. Whether that's next year, the year after, 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the benefit to doing it 5 years from now is that all those 5 years, you just see it in the background. And when it starts hitting, it's hitting like all those loose ends that everyone was like, oh, is this going to be it? Like, you can really build those.
Right. Because that same sort of thing happened with the Elder God Wars going all the way back to like 2008.
Right. Yeah. I think they're in a way better place to plan for those kinds of things currently than they were 10 years ago. So it could be really cool. Depends on what it.
All right. That makes me feel happy with the Necromancy quest then. And with that, we're going to move on to your patch notes for the week, including first up, a change to the Death Skull's ability that many people have called a nerf. And what this actually was behind the scenes was a complete rewrite of the ability. Mod Ryan completely rewrote the ability after Necromancy launched, and the changes fix an issue where damage would unintentionally scale up with each bounce in certain scenarios. Yeah. Yeah. It was scaling up exponentially.
Well, it's good thing we did it now, or else they would have never been able to ever touch it. Ever again.
Yeah.
So they're punishing players for not doing it early.
Yeah. So the way it's supposed to work is that it's supposed to scale based on the number of targets that's hit, but it was just, you know, in some cases, like Raziel, scaling up and the exponent would multiply it so that the damage would compound on itself. And what this has done for people, and even Mod Ryan said this, is that this has resulted in about a 12% decrease in the amount of damage that the ability gives off at places like Raziel. So factoring everything in, his Raziel kill times were about 12% longer than this. But as sure. We know, Necromancy still puts out huge, huge numbers. That is not the end of the world. They also fixed... Go ahead.
I was going to say, personally, it's a 100% increase in damage I do with Death Skulls because of the target range increasing, so yeah. I don't miss this.
Right, and you know, like that was a weird one in that previously the target range for Death Skulls was 5, but the Necromancy attack range is 6. So if you were standing at 6, right. You'd lose them.
Yeah, which was not fun. I'm not counting out the tiles all the time.
Yeah. So you know, it just behaves more in line with what the skill is. Also, it fixed an issue where hitting an immune enemy would mean that subsequent bounces hit or did no damage.
Yeah, that's a good one to fix.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Projectile animation improved as it bounces between targets and improved the retargeting to prioritize non-immune targets, then the player, before targeting an enemy that's immune. That's neat. It'd
been nice when I was doing Hermod.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing, and why it's so important to get these things right, because skills like Death Skulls are a huge force multiplier. Were you doing it with or without the Kiln Cape, or the Zuck Cape, rather?
Hermod?
Yeah.
I think at that point with mostly without.
Okay. Yeah, and that's 100% adrenaline. That's expensive for that skill at that point. So,
yeah, I didn't say I was good at combat.
That's okay. They also changed Threads of Fate and AoE attack changes this week so that they improve targeting again to prioritize non-immune before targeting an enemy that is immune. The special attack for the tier 70 to 90 Death Guards now correctly counts as a stun in certain scenarios, like Yakamaru and the Igneous Zekar in the Zuck fight. They also changed the life transfer incantation so that an issue has been fixed where the duration of a spirit would not display correctly on the head bar when exceeding 60 seconds, and fixed an issue where the duration would not correctly increase when north of 60 seconds. Ritual progression on legacy mode no longer shows it as being divided by 10.
That was such a weird bug.
Well, that's because the progress bar for the rituals are effectively a boss health bar.
Yeah, it's just a health bar. It's just such a funny thing to have happen.
Right, and you know, I think we talked about this on launch week, but the reason they probably went with that is that you couldn't use a MakeX interface for that, because if you interact with anything in the game world, like the ritual disturbances, your MakeX would stop. So you can't necessarily do it with like the MakeX tech, I'd imagine, for that. So another curious case of working around the edges.
Using the tools you have.
And like you mentioned also, increase the drop rate of congealed blood at gargoyles, necreels, blood velds, and terror dogs to reduce the reliance on ravenous gallows, because you do need that congealed blood now for super necromancy potions.
Which means you need them for overloads.
Yes.
So everyone needs lots of them.
I'm fine. I still have like 1,200 elder overloads from 120.
Yeah.
So I feel okay me right too. Now. I feel sorry for the people who have less than 120 herbla right now with this.
Yeah.
Here's another edge case. Our friend Iron Raxor made a video about necromancy runecrafting this week, and the day after he publishes his video, this patch note comes out. Players can no longer utilize abyssal runecrafting buffs to craft impure essence. So what was happening with this is that you could go through the abyss, teleport to and go into the necromancy rune altar and get the XP buff from the abyss. This made for
a
nice runecrafting method while it was around.
Yeah, rip.
I mean, it doesn't matter though. We got lots of other fast runecrafting methods right now. They changed the spectral scythe so that they improved the recast functionality so that the cooldown for the ability is applied on first cast. Increased the expiration duration for recast from 5.4 to 15 seconds. So just increasing that window, which is nice in case you need to line up targets again.
Yep,
definitely noticed that.
Yeah, I've been hit by that many times when using it, so I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Improve the visibility for expiration time with a debuff icon, and increase the number of enemies that can be hit with recast 2 and 3 from 9 to 25. From 9 to 25.
I think that's now more in line with the around the player AoE abilities, right?
Yeah.
Like Magma or Tempest.
Yeah, Magma.
Yeah, because this is now more. This is now what's that? 3 tiles away in a circle.
Yeah, this is bordering on par with the Dragon Long, or sorry, not the Dragon Long, the Dragon Two-Hander. So big numbers.
Yeah.
Does everybody have their palate cleanser? Everyone good?
Ready to dive in?
I love you talking about.
Hero Point text pop-ups can now be toggled by going to Settings, Notifications, Content Updates, and selecting the Hero Points option. Content buffs have been disabled within the Hero Pass. Rest in peace.
I realize this is a really minor thing I'm going to pick on, and I get that they had to do this pretty quickly for reasons, but I think it's really funny that the buffs menu is still there, and if you open it up, it just has a big red text saying, buffs are gone.
Well, the XP ones still exist, right?
Yeah, the XP ones still exist, but like the layout of the interface hasn't changed, so it's really weird looking.
most of the spaces for content buffs, yeah. And I gotta say, I speed ran using my Slayer buffs.
Oh, I know. And you know, I'm with you. I really like these buffs. And I have talked to countless other people who are legitimately sad that these are gone. So I hope that, you know, in talking with the people and smoothing over Hero Pass, that it was worth it. Because I feel like there's a portion of the population out there that is legitimately sad about this.
I think that given what that last blog said, they are definitely coming back. Just to what degree? Because they follow the language in there about like talking about what kind of buffs you want and stuff like that. I think that this is one thing they're more keen on bringing back.
Because if you make it your idea... No, it was your idea the whole time, guys. That's a great idea.
You suggested
idea.
It.
Yeah.
You like the border buff, right?
Or no, like it was just it was the Cambridge mob. They said, you know, just go this far and then it'll give you a chance to go back and, you know, have yourselves look good at the end of the day. That's what this is all about, right? Three-dimensional chess, guys.
Yeah, you gotta know how to negotiate.
There's a plan at the end, right?
This is warfare. Trust the plan.
Master negotiators. Art of the deal.
I'm not looking forward to the next blog. It says, so what do you want to get your pass to be?
Oh, that's going to be real stimulating.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Let me down over here.
No, it's fine. Daily missions now award 3 treasure hunter keys and 3 large prismatic lamps while we work on restoring daily challenge functionality.
Boo!
Oopsie-daisy.
And things can be filtered in the text chat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no winning with this, you know? I did an addendum for last week's show on this. And that's a rare case that we do that. Like, the show is done and the show is, you know, sealed up as soon as we, you know, leave for recording and whatnot. It's rare that we have to do that. And I want to wait until we see what this entire final system looks like. But based on what we heard last Friday, it looks like we're heading towards a Frankenstein of a system, dare I say it. And that bothers me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure people will feel better about that at the end of the day. But the question is, you need to realize that Hero Pass is going to be a vessel for selling things, right? Because we know with the impending sale of Jagex that we're at a point where the company needs to, you know, turn higher numbers in terms of revenue and profit. And how do you do that? Yeah, you can, you know, lean on the levers of Treasure Hunter. And I think people expect that at this point in time with promos and the like and account promos to add more accounts to the game. But at the same time, Yak Track, of course, was always primarily cosmetics and, you know, a few XP buffs along the way. Is it going to be okay? My question is it going to be okay from a corporate perspective if this thing that was designed, and, you know, let's be honest, let's be 100% honest, the content buffs that were there could have, you know, enticed people to spend money on it to get those buffs. We need to be 100% real with that, is that those were there to do that.
I mean, I think I think it's worth pointing out that Hero Pass is explicitly a replacement for the Yak Track. And like you made the point that Yak Track was primarily cosmetics and XP buffs, but Yak Track also, like, people were getting sick of it. It wasn't interesting anymore. So how do you make the new Yak Track interesting?
Right. And based off of that, Hero Pass is an F. And what does that mean? Design-wise, right?
Yeah, like how do you make that kind of a system interesting? Because you can't not have it. That's not a realistic option.
Right.
In 2023.
Right, so they tried one thing. It was shot down by the community. And at this point, what? What are we going to have, a reskinned Yak Track?
Yeah, which people already complain. They don't like it. It was boring.
It seems like so many people are just not interested in being part of the conversation, the constructive conversation. Like, if it's going to exist, contribute and talk about how a way that you might enjoy it.
Well, because so many people don't accept the premise that it's going to exist.
Or that it needs to make money.
Yeah.
Which I think if
I don't know. I don't know if that Friday blog was a good.
No, it definitely wasn't a good move to make corporate-wise.
It wasn't a good thing to like signal to the community that like, oh, maybe it doesn't have to exist. Now, like, I think people are battening down and the conversation. People might be calmer, but I don't think they're more accepting.
Right. And that's the question is, where do we go from here? Because it can't just be a reskinned Yak Track. Like, yeah. The question that needs to be asked to Jagex, was the purpose of Hero Pass designed to be a reskinned Yak Track to sell cosmetics and drive engagement? And if that's the case, proceed down that design path by all means. Focus less on the monetization aspect and the things that people had problems with, like the content buffs, like the progression, and make it a more engaging Yak Track then, by all means. But on the other hand, if it was designed to be a legit battle pass that was going to be a revenue stream from the game, what's the play? What's the play after that, right?
Yeah.
Is it more Treasure Hunter promos, more dies? Is it an increase in membership prices for RS3? What's the question? And this is what
it's an increase.
Right. And this is what I put on the table. If it's designed to be a monetary stream, what's the alternative? And how do you make Yak Track engaging if it's the other way?
It's the same thought process people had with content. It's like, they're like, I want this thing. And then you ask them, like, what would you replace to have that thing? I want that in addition to everything. It's not a replacement. It's not a replacement monetary stream. It's not a replacement piece of content. It's more and create resource time out of nothing, money out of nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have that contribute money to the game.
Right.
And dev hours to the game.
And I think, I think the thing that everybody, and I do truly mean everybody on this, the people who like Hero Pass, the people who don't like Hero Pass, I think one of the questions that's sitting unanswered at this point, what's the goal of this? What's the end goal of this? And can Jagex be transparent about that as these changes are being made? Because if they can't be transparent about what the ultimate end goal is for corporate reasons, and that would be understandable, then why lead the community along and pull back on this when there might not be a solution that would, scratch the itch the community's feeling? And we need to be 100% clear on this, that we see that problem and we see the concerns the community has. I don't agree with them. I don't know who, if anybody on this panel agrees with them today, and that was, evident in the way we presented things last week on here, but there's a conversation that needs to be had that's not happening, so I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. I believe it was an attempt to make more palatable Yak Track, and I think it went horribly wrong.
Yeah. That's probably the simplest and most innocent solution ever, Nick, I think. Because I don't think, given the way and where the RS community devs are right now, I don't think they would actively set out to do something that would be relayed to them with the right data that would get this reaction from the community. So.
No, they definitely didn't want this.
No.
Exactly, but and see, that's the thing where you get into the disingenuous discussion where you have people who say they don't care and they will absolutely, just progress through this for no reason. So,
sure.
But Tannis, anything else before we move on? Because I know we've been
no.
beating around the bush for this a long time, and it's probably not even worth talking about it at this point until we know what the replacement is.
Yeah, no, I mean, if anything, it's put a chilling effect on me working with the path. Just because I don't know what it's going to end up looking like.
Right. And we do need to be clear that there are legitimate issues with it in terms of, you know, not knowing how many special points we're going to get, in terms of knowing and having extra missions to complete when the ones we have turn over, in terms of, you know, slowing down progression on that. There are legitimate questions out there about progression. So those need to be answered too.
Yeah. But, yeah, of course.
I wish we were talking about that now.
Yeah, and I mean, I would love to talk about that, but there's no point in talking about it and having a real discussion on it until we have some numbers in front of us. And granted, you know, there's people who are going to, you know, split hairs on that and have that discussion anyways, but it's just not productive until then.
I think it matters anyway, because to me,
the decision's made.
And it feels disingenuous anyway, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm done giving the benefit of the doubt when I know you're not coming from a place of honest debate. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. You know, like you said, there's some legitimate questions with progression. I think there's a legitimate question about, this is a membership game. It also has microtransactions. Most games of the Battle Pass do not have membership requirements. So we could talk about
right.
that.
And
like,
you
is that
framed,
right?
And you could have framed that entirely differently on that then, and you would have had us with you on that.
Exactly. Like, so I don't know. I just don't feel like a lot of it's genuine.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Another fun patch note this week. The invention weapon XP changes are in, and they increase the offhand XP by 50% to now match the main hand, as well as increase two-handed XP rate by 50% to match main hand plus offhand, as well as increase the base weapon XP gain from 4.1% of damage to 4.5% of damage. That doesn't seem like that big of an increase, does it?
Really doesn't.
I was expecting more. But I'll take it, I guess.
Something.
Yeah.
As well as reduce the impact of a cap that negatively affected weapon XP at very high HP monsters. And that's the patch notes for the week, everybody. We do have one other piece of RS news before we wrap the show. And do you guys remember the RuneScape board game and tabletop RPG from first part of 2022? Well, as of September 29th, you're going to be able to pre-order. You're going to be able to pre-order the board game and the RPG kit, with both of them launching in March of 2024.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. I'll probably buy it. That's my jam.
Okay. I don't think I will. And you know, when it lands, we'll probably have to get somebody on the show to either talk about it or take us through a play session remotely on that, because I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that. But you know, you get the board game and the core rule book, and I think this is something that, you know, people would just absolutely love to, you know, throw down. You get a bunch of, you know, real life RuneScape friends together, and this is your Saturday evening, I guess. So,
well, I'm sure it would be fun, but we don't have any friends, Shane. So,
really, yeah. I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we can do this.
Oh no!
All mine moved away years ago.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. Well, maybe you need to move somewhere else then.
I'd like to. Rocky Mountain High. Yeah.
Zerdone's any interest in you purchasing this?
Probably not. I'm not really much for modern board games.
Okay, they, you're more of like a Clue and Monopoly person.
Yeah, I'm old and boring.
What about Uno?
I'll play Uno.
Okay, good. Scrabble?
With the board?
I'll play Scrabble. I'm not very good at it.
Go ahead, Evernick. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, with the board games, I think maybe a month or two ago, they actually sent out the tabletop RPG demo that they were kind of showcasing on the Giant Streams to all the backers.
Oh,
so
okay.
Theoretically, I could play with that original rule set. It was a lot of placeholder art
You ordered on the Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Good to know.
It looked fun. But I have not played the demo yet, so no comment on actually playing it myself. But it is available to people out there to currently play on tabletop RPG.
Nice. All right. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Well, then, we do have some achievements this week, starting off with Isk, who got 200 million constitution, almost said construction there, on September 13th. Bartnell's got 99 strength on the 12th, and Isk also got 99 necromancy on the 12th.
Next, Blades got 99 necromancy on September 11th. Bartnell's got 99 divination on September 10th, just before the strength gains. And Nate the Great got 9 on Necromancy on September 10th.
Also on September 10th, Robosaur Rex got 120 Necromancy. September 9th, Jesse Pinkman took a break from cooking to also get 120 Necromancy. September 7th, we have... Oh, good lord. Marie Holt?
That was me last week.
99 Slayer? Mr. Eckelt? I don't know. Hit me up on Discord. Tell me how to pronounce your name, if you're listening. And last but certainly not least, also September 7th, Swaboosh with 99 Necromancy.
That's the best name.
It's a good name.
Fun to say.
Swaboosh.
Nicely done. And Tana says something as we head into the fall season for Pick of the Week that kind of lines up with the same kind of theme here.
Yeah, so this week for Pick of the Week, this was, unfortunately, it's not on sale anymore, I don't think. It was on sale last week, but it's just a little game called Vampire Survivors.
It's $6.
Yeah, it's super cheap. I think it's free on Game Pass, and it's just a little retro-style game where you basically just survive hordes of monsters, you know, bats and zombies and, you know, you name it, vampire-y stuff. And it kind of reminds you of almost like, you know, one of those space games where your ship, you know, shoots.
Like the kind of scroller kind of one.
Yeah. So this works the same way, only it, you know, it's kind of a spooky theme, and the goal is just to survive, just last as long as you can. I haven't made it through a stage yet, but I feel like the stages are really super unfairly long. And I'm working on being a better survivor.
It honestly looks like a game that you would play on Game Boy back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a little fun one-off type of thing. And then once I started playing it, I'm like, this is strangely kind of addictive and fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's got an 87 Metacritic and overwhelmingly positive on Steam. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
No. All right, sounds good. Link to that can be found in the show notes at update.show. Zerdones, what have you been up to on RS?
Well, I have been practicing my safe, sane, consensual necromancy.
Okay.
Haven't we all?
Mm-hmm.
Because RuneScape is that kind of fantasy game, if you want it to be. So I'm up to level 114 currently. I got up to 113 pretty quickly, and then I've kind of slowed from there. I've been got some stuff going on in real life that's been making it a little hard to.
Congrats, you're halfway to 120.
Rituals. Yeah, I'm halfway. I know.
Not to put a damper on it or anything.
No, it's only 40 million XP to go, 46 million, something like that. It goes by so fast.
Oh, I know. I know.
You know, have it in no time. Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing they didn't, like, you know, really nerf combat XP or anything, so you'll be there in no time.
Or ritual XP, for that matter.
Honestly, I feel like ritual XP is more consistent, if anything, than it was before, which I think is a good thing, dare I say it.
Yeah, I don't think controversial. I don't feel like they really nerfed it that much at all.
No. But
I don't know. Like the clouds, really. They're still like 20K.
Yeah. And those things scale too as level goes up. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget
they
that.
They do, yeah.
So
you can.
All right. So for Zerdone, safe, sane, consensual necromancy. Right on. How about you, Avernick?
I've been enjoying the Hero Pass.
Yeah.
No, you can say that. You're free to say whatever you want on this show. I will shield you if the mob comes for you.
No, it's fine. I mean, just say I go through the missions. I think my preferred activity is giving Zygomites haircuts for hero points.
Oh, that's one of them?
Oh, no. I mean, like, I do that for the passive hero points.
Oh, okay.
For the daily? Daily,
that would
weekly.
Be insane if like your weekly mission finish extinction.
Okay, I got you. Yeah,
but no, this is what I've pretty much been doing for.
So in effect, you've been giving yourself your own tasks then after you've done the weekly. Then is what I'm getting.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, I pretty much default this because I'm trying to get Bernie.
Oh, okay.
For the fire making speed, yeah.
Right. I see.
Understandable.
Yeah, that's a way to do it. I know I spent some time there in terms of getting the shards for last double XP for 120 fire making. So I mean that's a good way to do it. How have you been finding the weekly tasks? You've been bursting through those too, or just mainly focused?
My first one was like do 6 D&Ds, which is a very cheesable one. It's like find one penguin, do the circus, one activity in the circus, things like that. And then I had to restore 15 artifacts, and I have a buttload of those, so...
Yeah, that's a nice one.
No biggie there.
Yeah, I got 10 Dungeoneering floors last week and 15 artifacts
this
week.
That sounds awful.
I know, Dungeoneering is awful. But... yeah, so are you working on Necromancy with that, too, or are you just kind of just focusing on...
Not too much. When I finished the quest, I took a week off, and then I got 99 afterwards.
I'm currently
sitting at 103. My motivation was the quests.
Of course.
99 is nice to get with the max skilled, but past that, there's a amnesty period, so...
Yeah, for 120 and comp and whatnot, and, you know, I was shocked myself when I got my comp cape back after unlocking the last music track, so there's that.
Yeah. I'm sure when we get the fourth conjure, I'll try to unlock that 106.
Yeah, because that's already in there. That'll be an unlock at some point. So,
All right.
That's good. And you know, hey, it just goes to show that you don't need a task that says go burn 3,000 logs or whatever for that. You can just go and do that for your own passive hero pass. So I'm glad.
If that's
glad
what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying it, though.
I love the Zygomite thing. I do this all the time.
Nice. Also probably pretty good for mobile too, hey?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. As for me this week, I have been pioneering my Raziel methods and whatnot, and I've got the kill time just down to under 230. The only guide I looked up, so to speak, was the rotation on the wiki, compared that to the one on PVME, and said, yeah, kind of like that, and then just kind of finessing things as I went along with that. So I've been sometimes doing an hour or so of that a bit per day, but aside from that, just doing necromancy rituals as well, closing in on level 107, which is good. because that's, of course, when you unlock Attraction 3, and you can set that up to be, of course, one of the alteration glyphs on your Necromancy cape. So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. And after we finished the show last week on last Friday, I went to Raziel and I got Robe Bottom's first Necromancer, and of course, you know, everybody's, oh God, there's his RNG again.
Uh huh. Because it's true.
The evidence is right there, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
The no one can see it.
Top, bottom, whatever.
Yeah, it was just the Robe Bottom, and then I guess you could say, like I said, I completed the Raziel log in 193 kills and had all my plates by then. So,
if you completed Raziel log in 193 kills, good God!
I mean, not Raziel Herbod, sorry.
Call off the pitchforks,
Herbod, not Raziel.
If you, God, oh, maybe what you meant.
Don't be surprised.
God. Maybe that's a challenge. Then maybe I should.
Challenge accepted. Go for it, Shane.
God, you'll do it too. I know you will.
No, I think like the expected value is around like 800, 900, I think, based on what's.
Yeah, because I think aren't they? They're supposed to be like 1 in 100. I think.
Yeah, each. around there,
something like that.
Yeah. So, but that's what I've been up to, and of course a little bit on the side with Old School as well to continue our questing push there, because Old School's got some pretty neat updates on the way too, like Path of Glovefree on the way, and just lots of fun little things relating to Hunter and the like too. So everybody should always, of course, keep your eyes on the other game too. But I believe that's it for this episode of Update. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll be back next week for more podcasts, probably discussing the next stage of Hero Pass and where things go with that. But if you want that delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. You can visit update.show/subscribe. We're on all the podcast listeners out there, Apple, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify, and more. And of course, YouTube as well, youtube.com/rsbnb. There we post the video versions of the show, and we tried something different last week. Instead of nibbles, we actually did some shorts. So head on over there, and if it looks like that's something you're interested in, definitely like and subscribe. It greatly, greatly helps the channel out. But thank you, Avernick, for joining us on this episode. It was wonderful.
Absolutely.
And Zerdones, too.
Yeah, glad to be back.
And Tanis and I will be here next week again for another episode of RSBNB Update. Until then, see you everyone, and take care.
See ya.
Bye.